Well, it's been good to be in God's house this morning. God's been in our midst today. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I have kind of an addendum or a follow-up to last Sunday morning that I'd like to share with you. Thought I was going to just continue in the theme that of biblical holiness, but this is still a part of it, but sometimes when I get settled down of a Sunday night, I relive the day. A lot of times I relive the day. It's not always pleasant reliving the day when you're so full of humanity. It shows itself so much. And I don't know that I don't know. I just had a lot of things that perhaps that need to be said. Instead of continuing on the direction that I was going to go. And I'm not even real sure positively why I felt this. But this is what came to my mind as I began to relive last Sunday morning and try to get a feel for what God was wanting to do and say. Is holiness impossible? The call from God to be holy. It's a biblical call. It's a biblical challenge. You know, God said it in the Old Testament. It's repeated in the New Testament. Be ye holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. And it can be awesome in the fullest sense of the word awesome. The call can appear extremely daunting when we read and realize the glory and the majesty and the power of Jehovah, Elohim, the magnificence. You know, there's so many things that the Old Testament portrays about God that we lose sight of in the New Testament, perhaps. We lose sight of it in our generation. The power, the magnificence, the majesty of God in the Old Testament. Moses in God's presence came from that unique sense and that unique privilege, and the people knew. The people could see. You know, is this biblical call to holiness? Is it impossible? But this is what we have to be reminded of. This is what I want us to get from last Sunday morning and bringing it forward to this. I know that there's people here that were not here last Sunday morning, and if you want to, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it last Sunday. And if people that were here last Sunday are not here this morning, maybe they need to go and listen to this later as well. But this is what we need to get a hold of when we're listening to or reading about and feeling and hearing the call of God to be holy. That this call to be holy is not hinged, it is not hinged on what we have to provide in ability, in what we have to give in strength or in personality. It is hanging on what God provides. It is hinged upon what He does. It is who He is that changes things. It's who He is that matters. And so in thinking about that, let me quickly remind you of an Old Testament patriarch that we all are aware of. We've probably, the very youngest ones here that begin to comprehend the things about the Bible, they've heard this patriarch's name of the Old Testament, the name of Abraham, beginning as Abram, but soon to be changed to Abraham. And we just commonly refer to him throughout his entire life as Abraham. Abraham was a man that we can learn a lot from. We can learn from his mistakes. We can learn from his successes. One of his successes is found in Genesis chapter 2, or 22, excuse me, chapter 22 and verse number 2, where God called Abraham to do something that was impossible to do. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And I might be able to add in here, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and who, in whom is the fullness of the promise that God had given to Abraham. The fullness of the promise that through Isaac would be a great nation. The sands of the sea, the stars of the heaven would pale in comparison. Take this son, thine only son, and offer him there in the land of Moriah as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's verse number 2. That's verse number 2. Now we can speculate here with all sorts of human emotions and put it into this equation. Because the emotions that we have in the midst of the circumstances or the call of God to come and be something or to do something that He's calling us to be or to do, and we put in our own personal emotions into the equation, and it causes us to struggle. So we can put our own personal equation or emotions into this particular equation, all of those things that would come into our thoughts in our lives and cause us to pause or cause us to slow down or even causes to resist. I don't know exactly what goes on. I don't know exactly what took place here in the midst of all of those human emotions that were possibly in the heart of Abraham, but we find very quickly, verse number 3, the very next verse, and very next day, if I might add. So there's not a lot of time in between verse 2 and verse 3. Abraham arose in early morning and he begins to follow the command of God. Now, from here on, we can see that there may have been an emotion that was brought into it. There were some things that we can realize in the midst of him obeying God's voice and the command that God gave him, that there were some emotions being brought into it. But the ultimate came when his own son realized that something was out of kilter here. Something was missing here. Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And in the midst of that emotion that Abraham had, in the midst of the battle that may have been going on within his own mind and the opposition that perhaps permeated his thoughts as he was following God's voice and God's will, we find the words that he gave to his son, God himself will provide. That didn't mean that he didn't stop doing what God wanted him to do. He continued all the way to the point that he bound his son, laid him on the altar, and raised the knife to follow through with that sacrifice. Isn't that incredible? But you know, it didn't start there with the big thing. Do you understand why I say it was the big thing? Because it's probably the biggest thing that Abraham had ever had to face. I don't know what it is that your big thing is. I don't know where it is in your travel, in your journey in life, in the call that God has given to you to come and separate yourself from this world around you and to be holy because God Himself is holy. I don't know what all that is meaning into your personal life, but whatever that big thing is, God Himself will provide. But it didn't start with the big thing. Now, it may have started with a big thing, but it didn't start with that very big thing. And that's the biggest thing. If we go back just a matter of 10 chapters, and I don't know, again, don't know exactly what the time frame is, but Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Some of us have a hard time getting out of our house, out of our land. There's a lot of people that don't obey God because God calls them to another land. Because it's hard leaving home. So this is still a big thing, but it wasn't the big thing. But it began right here when God was calling Abraham to leave his home, to leave what was comfortable, to leave what was ordinary, to leave what he was used to, and to step out into the unknown and to go to a place that he later found out was dry and thirsty. He had to dig some wells. He had to dig a lot of wells. Now, it's not in verse number 2 that we find the answer here to this particular command, but it is in verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham is 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of the Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. It's an incredible story when you think about it. But Abraham was an Old Testament patriarch obeying the call of God to do. And ultimately we can realize that God was calling him to himself. The Old Testament command still remained the same for him as it was from the very get-go of creation. Man was to be God's prize creation. Made in the likeness and the image of God. Made to be holy. We jump over quickly into the New Testament and we find the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, using a small phrase that kind of jumps out at us, especially as we consider these thoughts and this idea of, is holiness impossible? Three words that Paul uses in that 31st verse. I die daily. Now you can look at that literally and realize that these words that he was expressing here in this verse could be used to describe his willingness to literally put his life at risk for the cause of Jesus Christ. Or you could look at it metaphorically. Metaphorically would mean that he was saying that I die daily, that he was saying that he was willing to die to himself, he was willing to die to his rights, he was willing to die to his desires to be his own boss. That in that particular death that he was saying he had to die daily in, he was imitating Christ. He was saying that Christ was who he was to follow, and in that particular concept, he was obeying the call of Jesus himself when Jesus said, take up thy cross, deny yourself daily. Daily. Dying to yourself means putting to death the sinful ways and the lifestyles of the old life. Dying to self ultimately is a choice that leads to eternal life. Jesus said, as I've already mentioned, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Three words that start with an S come out at me as at this particular point. Is holiness possible or is it impossible? It would appear as we look at the holiness of God that it is an impossible thing for man to ever reach that point of holiness. It would appear as we look at the scriptures and realize the grandeur and the glory and the majesty of how God is and how holy he is that we could ever think that we could reach that point. We see the life of Abraham, we see the call of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, and as I said, three words stand out to me, and that is, first of all, the word surrender. I see the word submission, and I see self removed. The songwriter said, I know you're going through the fire, it's getting hard to stand the heat, But even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain. But here's the key to that songwriter. The potter knows the clay. How much pressure it can take. How many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. Submission to his will is the key to that entire song. As I struggled with this through the week, and as I battled back and forth as to what to say and how to say it, and is it impossible or is it possible? Because when we look at it from the human side and the human aspect and the abilities of our own selves to be able to reach and to ascend and to attain such a lofty thought and to think that it's possible that we could even be possibly close to being what he wants us to be. Brother Rodney Loper, I believe, used an illustration Friday night at CPYC. I believe I've heard him tell this story before elsewhere. He might have even told it right here. But he was talking about and telling the story of him, and I believe it was his brother-in-law that was trying to pull a vehicle onto a trailer because it wouldn't run, and they were using ratchet straps, I think. And tighten, they worked for a long time, and they weren't able to budge it very far. It wasn't moving anywhere. One of them asked the question, is it in neutral? Well, yes, I'm certain that it's in neutral. But finally, after much struggle and after much strain trying to get it to move onto the trailer, one of them got inside and checked, and sure enough, it was still in park. And when he moved that shifter into neutral, it went onto the trailer without the previous struggle or the previous strain. You see, it points directly to the issue of whether or not you and I can reach the point that God wants us to be holy in his sight and in his eyes. It all comes down to what kind of resistance we have to his will. If there's a struggle and there's a battle and there's an impossibility that is within our hearts saying that it's not for me, I can't do it, I'm not able to, then maybe you need to take a look at the parking brake or the gear stick and see if there's some kind of a resistance to his will. Surrender. Abraham could never have done what he did if it was not for the surrender to his will of leaving his home and leaving his background and all that was comfortable to go out. There's no way that Abraham could have taken Isaac to the mountain of Moriah to be able to sacrifice his son if it wasn't for something that had already taken place in his heart where he said yes to the fullness of God's will. And he obeyed the next morning as soon as he could. Surrender, submission, getting self out of the way. How often do I have to do that? How often do you have to do that? How often does Paul have to do that? Well, he said that I die daily. Jesus said to deny themselves and to take up his cross daily. That means that every step that we take, every crossroad to which we come, every challenge that is placed before us, every single day, I surrender all. If you went away last Sunday morning, think it's impossible for you to live that life of holy living and to reach the point of satisfaction before God that he can look on you and say, well done, I'm pleased, my faithful servant. If you think that that's impossible for you to reach that point, I want you to reconsider and realize that he does have the grace sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. That when we come to the point of decision, the point of crossroads, or the daily dying and the sacrifice of self on a daily basis. If we remove the hindrance of our own will, the breaking of our own will, the insubordination and the stubbornness of our own choosing, selfish desires, and we put it in neutral for Him to glide us on, we can walk faithful to the calling of God to be faithful or to be holy, even as He is holy. Let's stand together this morning. It's a call that God has given us in the Old Testament. It's a call that God's given us in the New Testament. It's a call that God gives to us daily today. In your life and in my life, not a one of us is exempt. If we are to follow Him, we are to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow Him daily. Daily. Do you know that Abraham failed sometimes? He grievously failed. Really, he did. But he didn't throw in the towel. He didn't give up and say, forget it. No, he knew that God was faithful. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God was gracious. Well, we could go on and take a lot of time talking about people that messed up. But just know that you and I, if we keep ourselves surrendered and daily take up our cross and deny ourselves, that we can be successful, spiritually successful. We can make it. And all the glory will go to God. That the power of Christ can rest on us, on you. It's not in what I have to give to bring to the table, but it's in His grace and me taking my breaks, taking the breaks off, the resistance. I don't know who it's for this morning, but I think it's for somebody. And I hope that you respond. I hope that you respond the way Jesus wants you to respond today. The altar is open if somebody needs to pray. You can make it right and walk with Him today. Praise God. Amen. Dr. Carl Matlock, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?